From the land of Grand Teton University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the sixth day of March, 2014. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Dan Zwicker at CGB Enterprises. He's in Mandeville, Louisiana. A bit later, TGM's own Matt Bennett will be here to take up the cash grain market. He's down at the grain elevator in Windsor, Illinois. And then as we close out our half hour together, we'll discuss the weather forecast with Mike Tenora at T-Storm Weather in Chicago, Illinois. Oh, and along the way, Lisa Braltz will be here with another edition of Backyard Industry. And it all happens on this Thursday edition of the Closing Market Report, a production of Illinois Public Media at the University of Illinois.
Support comes from Stuart Peterson, since 1985 offering strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. Stuart Peterson develops strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information at stuart-peterson.com.
Let's check in on the numbers as they finished up in Chicago. For this Thursday afternoon, futures in the soft red winter wheat at $6.41.5, up 4.5 cents. For the end of the day, July at $6.49.5, up 3.5. That's the new crop, of course. March corn futures at $4.85.75, a 10.5 cent gain. May at $4.91, up 9. And July at $4.95.25, 9 cents higher. December $4.89.25, up 6, and March of next year at $4.94.25, up 5 cents. March soybeans, $14.37.5, up 17.5. The May at $14.38, up 17.5, and July at $14.09.5, up 14.25. November beans $11.86, up 6.25. January futures $11.89.75, up 6 cents. Bean meal at $4.58.40, up 70. Bean oil at $44.27. $1.09 higher. Live cattle futures nearby contract. That's the April futures. $143.15. 52.5 cents lower. June futures at $135.47.5 are down 30. And the March feeder cattle at $171.40. 82.5 cents lower. April futures at $172.80 down $1.20. Lean hogs $112.40 up $1.67.5. And the May futures at $116.85. $1.15 higher. A quick look at the outside markets show the crude oil futures trading $101.72 a barrel, up 27 cents. RBOB price of gasoline at $2.94.7. That's up 6 8/10. And ethanol futures trading $2.34.6, 2/10 of a cent higher. The spread between those two is now 16 1/10 of a cent wide. That's 4 4/10 of a cent narrower than it was yesterday. You, of course, are listening to the Closing Market Report. It does come to you from Illinois Public Media right here on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the U of I. Natural gas futures at $4.66 2/10 are 13 9/10 of a cent higher, and diesel fuel today at $2.98 6/10, down 0.5 cent. Gold futures at $1,351.80 an ounce, up $11.50. The weather forecast for the Urbana-Champaign area, Champaign County, looks like this for the rest of the afternoon. Mostly sunny skies, a high of 30. East winds at 5 to 10 miles an hour. Tonight, mostly clear. Lows in the 20s, light southeast winds. And then tomorrow, sunny skies, not as cool. Highs in the upper 40s, south winds at 5 to 10 miles an hour. Friday night, mostly cloudy. Lows around 30, light southwest winds becoming northerly after midnight. And then on Saturday, cloudy with a 40% chance of rain, maybe a little snow. Highs in the upper 30s. North winds at 10 to 15 miles an hour. Saturday night, partly cloudy, and a low of around 20 degrees. As we look forward to Sunday, sunny skies and 40 degrees Sunday night, and Monday partly cloudy, low in the lower 30s, highs in the upper, rather lower 50s, and Monday night and Tuesday, mostly cloudy, lows in the upper 30s, highs in the lower 50s. Tuesday evening and Wednesday, mostly cloudy with a 30% chance of rainfall or snow, lows in the lower 30s, highs in the lower 40s. We'll take a more complete look at the weather forecast as we get closer to the bottom of the half hour. We'll talk with Mike Tenora. He's at T-Storm Weather in Chicago, Illinois. Quickly, if you have not yet visited our website to check out Tuesday's All Day Ag Outlook, the videos are there with the exception of Jonathan Kappas, and I'll try to take care of that yet this afternoon. Jonathan, of course, the farm policy specialist, and we'll take you through all of the commodity programs and some decisions you'll make later this year if you happen to be a farmer or a landowner. But if you want to check out the panels, they're at willag.org, the corn, the soybean, the cash grain panels, and Murray Wise on the land values, all at willag.org.
Support for agricultural programs comes from AgriGold and their newest AgriGold Giant 107-day A6408, available for 2014 in Roundup Ready and also VT Triple Pro Rib. More information on A6408, including yield and dry down data, is at AgriGold.com.
On the phone line with us is Dan Zwicker. He's at CGB Enterprises in Mandeville, Louisiana, for the sixth day of March. Good afternoon to you, Dan. When we were talking with you this morning, we discussed, and we'll go back through these numbers just a bit, what you think the carryout might look like for the corn. But we didn't quite get to your carryout for the ending stocks number for soybeans. Can you go through that one for me real quick?
Well, the issue that we have going on in old crop soybeans is exports sales. Even today, a lot of sales from other countries other than China. We've got total export sales now about 1610. USDA has in their recent balance sheet for February was like 1510. So we're about 100 million bushels above what USDA has on their balance sheet to get to 150 million bushels. So if you subtract that 100 over sale in exports, technically, then we're only at 50 million bushel on the carryout. So we know that the function of the market then is to reach a price level to get those cancellations going in soybeans and switch the business to South America, or prices have to get to the point where U.S. consumers will buy South American beans instead of U.S. beans to meet their crushing needs and crushing capacities, and maybe even turn around and re-export. So we know at least at the moment the balance sheet in soybeans is very tight. We could find some beans on the March 31st report, and that's, I guess, the open question. Last year, I think we did find some beans. We could find out that we got more beans around than what we think, and that could help cushion that. But if USDA doesn't find any beans, I think, on that March report, then it'll definitely give a green light then for the market bulls of old crop beans to try to seek out a price level that would see that would generate some sales cancellations at some point in time.
Well, it seems that the marketplace has been, well, we have driven prices higher from what a recent low of $12.60 in the March contract, I guess, up to $14.37.5, been pretty calm about this process given what it knows about the marketplace. So is there something there to the idea that there are more beans around and that production was higher, or something else is not using beans as quickly? What do you think?
Well, I mean, everybody knows that the yields came in much better than what everybody thought. Now, the big question is, and I guess that's the question, is USDA's harvest acreage number correct? Did we harvest more acres or did we harvest less acres? But we don't know. We do know that the yields probably are pretty good. So,
right. But it's unlikely that they would change the harvested acres anywhere, isn't it? I mean,
if they're overstating the crop, they would. If the crop is actually smaller, then maybe we didn't harvest as many acres. Or if the crop is bigger, maybe we harvested more acres. And the December stocks report, I just view that as kind of a starting point. The important one now, halfway through the marketing year, so we should get a decent reading on what implied disappearance is, and it would indicate, you know, whether or not USDA is in the ballpark on the production numbers or off. We'll find that out after we sort out what the stocks number is, when we get that information. But right now, just looking what we know things are very tight in the soybean market. They're getting tighter in corn, but they're not at anything like what we were the past couple of years. the Ukraine situation has, you know, kind of put a little different perspective on the market. Nobody really knows how that is going to be impacted longer term. But you know, the trade was expecting to export a lot of corn and wheat out of the Ukraine to meet world demand. If there's something that comes along and complicates that, then that generates more demand for U.S. product or South American product. So I think that's got the market stirred up. And then, of course, the South American soybean crop has gotten smaller on the trade. So we've had some fundamental reasons why this market has come to life here during the month of February.
Right.
There's a lot of other things out there that could be bearish also.
Okay. So I know you well enough to know that you always tell us that the chart points are the places that the chart is headed, and that those are places on the map, and eventually the market will tell us what the fundamental reasons, if there are any, to get to those points. Once we started, and you saw this drive coming about a month ago, I think. So what chart points have we met at this point, and what are the upside objectives yet?
We've just, as far as new crop goes, we've at least met the minimum, the bear market minimum for a bear market rally. Now, I think there's enough.
This is for corn or for soybeans?
For both corn and soybeans.
Okay.
I think this move to 1180, 1190 on November beans is, at least that is noticeable on the charts. The move to this 485, 488 level on corn is noticeable. Now, I had a head and shoulder objective on these corn about 495, and then if you get into key retracement levels, 505 to 525 is definitely going to be a hard spot in the chart. I think in order to slice through that, you know, the perception of supply demand is going to have to change. And, you know, that March 31st report can change a lot of perceptions. And by then we'll probably have a little better idea of what the spring weather pattern is going to be, how late we're going to get off to the start, or maybe we're not going to be late at all. Who knows? Things can change real quickly this time of year. But we know we're not going to the field tomorrow if you look out your window. So I think some of the bare minimum prices for farmers that were looking for spots to maybe get started, maybe, you know, I'm not opposed to doing some minor selling in here. I would rather use a put option based type contract than probably a hedge or a cash forward sale at this point. But I just think that the market has a little more to it. Like I said, at least 5-something on these corn. November beans, maybe 12, 20. 1240 is going to be an awful stiff resistance if we would get up to that point. So those would be some targets that I think are possibly attainable anyway.
Both well above the crop insurance numbers. So
yeah,
worth protecting.
Yeah, I think so. I think the crop production or the, you know, crop insurance is a very good product, but it's not a substitute for marketing. You still have to market your grain. So it's definitely a good marketing tool. It should be used in a marketing plan, and that's what a lot of farmers haven't really made that next step. They bought the crop insurance, and now they got to make the next step, and that is trying to develop a marketing plan based upon their risk level. Some guys, you know, can run the risk and see how this market performs all the way into May, June, July. We may have enough juice in this market to take it into an average seasonal type drive into June. I don't necessarily see that. I'm more inclined to think the high could come just as easily during the first 4 months of the year, which means, you know, maybe we got another 6 weeks yet to see how this thing plays out. But once the crop is planted, then it's hard to make the market go up unless you get into a severe weather problem during June or July.
Hey, thanks so much for taking the time with us today.
Farewell.
That's Dan Zwicker. He's with CGB Enterprises out of Mandeville, Louisiana. Joins us on the closing market report for this Thursday afternoon.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Risk Management Commodities Incorporated in Lafayette, Indiana, Chalmers, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois. Risk Management Commodities focuses on managing risk in today's complex and sophisticated commodities market. 866-837-9027.
Okay, a couple of notes here. Tomorrow I will not be in. Dave is still out, so this program probably will be pre-recorded. I already talked to Daryl Good for Commodity Week. Try to put that up yet tonight, so if you want to go get it off the website, you can at willag.org. I think we'll have Mike Zuzulo live tomorrow, but I haven't quite worked that detail out. Again, I'll be at the Illinois Soybean Summit hosting that. That's in Peoria at the Civic Center. It's free. And if you registered, looking forward to seeing you. And then next week on Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, Monday after we finish up with this program, I'll head out to the John Deere plants in Moline. If you want to go and see the combine plant, the planter plant, and the tractor plant, you still can, about $550. Call 217-333-7300. Give Jan your name and your number, and I'll get back to you. 217-333-7300. Actually, we've got room, I'm told, for 9 people. So if you want to go, go ahead and dial in. But you had to do that today by 10 o'clock. 217-333-7300. And leave a message there if it's after the hours and you finally get around to that. Okay. So that's what we have happening at this point, and we're glad to have you on board with us here at willag.org. Don't forget that the All-Day Ag Outlook panels are already posted up to our website, with the exception of Jonathan Kappas, who did the Farm Policy Specialist programs and the commodity programs. That one's good for a while. I'll try to get to that yet this evening, and you can find them at willag.org. Up next, just like us, sheep stop wearing their wool when the weather gets warmer. In this episode of Backyard Industry from March of 2012, Lisa Brault visits a small farm in Sydney to watch sheep shearing, and a guru there teach the craft to some novice shearers and some novice sheep.
Support comes from the Black Dog Smoke and Ale House, serving barbecue beef brisket, pork shoulder, ribs, chicken, and more, slow cooked over a wood-fired smoker. Open Sunday through Thursday, 11 a.m. to 10 p.m., and Friday and Saturday, 11 a.m. to 11 p.m. The Black Dog, 201 North Broadway in downtown Urbana.
I know, I talk a lot about the weather, but winter this year really never seemed like winter, and the recent heat wave was especially enough to make one wonder if it ever really showed up at all. But the first Saturday in March felt chilly in Kathy Cable's barn out in Sydney, Illinois, 15 minutes from Urbana-Champaign. Seemed like a strange time to shear her 9 sheep. But most of these sheep were ladies, ewes, and they were about to deliver their lambs. These ewes were amazing. Big, round, cartoony-looking sheep gals with skinny, stickish legs. The sheep we count to fall asleep brought to vigorous, woolly life. And that was the major issue at hand. They were woolly. The fleece has to go before the lambs come along. And a hoof trim wouldn't hurt either. Making these formerly ubiquitous farm skills extra exciting on this day was a double whammy of relative inexperience. 3 sheep had never been shorn before. 3 sheep had only been shorn once. And 3 of the 5 shearers, students at the University of Illinois, had never shorn a sheep. One of them, Tricia Seal, was psyching herself up.
I've never done it before, so I'm a little nervous. I'm not sure, you know, how hard it actually is. It looks that he makes it look easy, but, you know, I know it's not going to be easy.
Before anything could happen, though, they had to get the sheep into the barn. Sheep number 1, standing motionless on the stand like a pro when I arrived, had been fully shorn by Kathy and was penned up and looking positively nude compared with the remaining ewes who were still outside in the yard. They thundered magnificently into the barn, interested in the food bribe being offered. They are sheep. But they turned and thundered right back out again after taking one look at the array of visitors, novice shearers, equipment, and sheep number 1. Wouldn't you? Once lured back into the barn, the sheep were, literally, in excellent hands. Dick Cobb is the instructor for the sheep production and working with farm animals classes in animal sciences at the University of Illinois that yielded today's novice shearers. He's been shearing sheep for 50 years. 50. He told me that back in the day, he could shear a sheep in 5 minutes and shear upwards of 50 in a single day. That was not the goal today, however. He was at Kathy's for the second year in a row to demonstrate shearing technique and to encourage his students. The guy knows his way around a fleece, but he was all about educating the newbies.
What we're doing today is just give them the feel of the equipment in their hands, and you can shear one if you want, or 5-to-1, whatever works. And I was just really happy that we had some people in the class that wanted to do it.
Kathy was at work on her second sheep. Sheep numbers 3 and 4 were lifted onto their stands. The students were shown by Dick how to use the hand pieces, which are really just oversized versions of the clippers you see in a barbershop. There was a brief moment of hesitation by the first volunteer. She clutched her handpiece. The sheep bawed. The handpiece buzzed to life and she began shearing, tentatively at first, and the other students followed suit. Dick Cobb coached. Wool began to fall off the ewes.
Okay, girl. One stroke.
When the shearing and fleece washing were over, Kathy estimated she'd have about 36 pounds of washed wool, which translates into about 30 pounds of yarn. It's now late March. Sheep were shorn and lambs were born. Spring is truly here on our local farms. This is Lisa Braltz.
Our thanks, of course, go to Lisa Braltz for her backyard industry pieces. They're produced with the aid of our Director of Agricultural Programming, David Dickey. This is the closing market report. It is a Thursday afternoon. Let's check the cash grain market now. On the phone line with us is Matt Bennett from TGM. He normally is in Windsor, Illinois, but he's a little north of that, near South Bend, Indiana today. Hi, how are you?
I'm doing good. How are you doing, Todd?
Well, I'm doing really, really well. So you were up to Ag Day, one of my haunts, because of the kinds of programs I do for the College of Aces. And I take it you're going to be on one of their marketing segments. Congratulations.
Yeah, thanks. It was actually a really good day. We did 4 or 5 segments that are going to run next week, basically focusing on cash grain, looking a little bit also at new crop and then talking just simply about profitability. So it was kind of right in my wheelhouse.
All right. Well, it'll be fun. Hopefully people will tune in to Ag Day. They know that's a television news piece. They can get it off the RFD satellite, I'm pretty certain. And it airs on many radios or on many television stations around the nation. Okay, so let's talk about the commodity markets and marketing. We had another lift in the marketplace today. Are you still of an opinion that producers need to be taking advantage of this? They need to scale in on new crop sales? So what's your thought?
Yes, I definitely would like to see guys taking advantage of some of these prices. I think, we really need to take a reality check and understand that, it had to have been 6-8 weeks ago, and we had a lot of guys that were very worried about their profitability for the next year. So, rewarding the market as it goes up is definitely a good thing to do. And by all means, we're selling cash and we're selling new crop. And, as far as the new crop goes, I like maybe putting a floor underneath it, maybe not selling too much as far as fall delivery sales go, but I think we can have a little more upside, but I just want to lock in profitability more than anything.
And what kind of bids do you have at the elevator for the day?
Well, cash beans, 14.37, and fall, 11.56, cash corns, 4.61, fall, 4.60.
All right, so we're talking, of course, this afternoon with Matt Bennett. He's at TGM in Windsor, Illinois. Stay with me, Matt. You are listening, of course, to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media at willag.org. That's willag.org from the University of Illinois. Matt, let's continue our conversation for just a second. We went through corn. How about for soybeans? There was a pretty good rally there today, too.
Yeah, by all means. It's a great rally. And I think whenever we look at beans approaching 14.50, just excellent price. Looking at fall beans, 11.50. I like to remind guys, it hadn't been that long ago that we actually were in a situation where one limit down day would get us under $10 for fall beans. So I don't want to ignore these bean prices.
You don't want to ignore them, but do you want to wait it out for a bit and see what happens?
Well, I don't want to sell them all today by any means. But what I'd like to do is sell a few for fall delivery, and then, I've been a pretty big advocate of buying short-dated put options just to protect the price, basis to November. And if I buy short-dated options, to the May, even, that'll give me a couple of months to look at them, and I could buy them for about a third of the price, full-term expiration notes.
Hey, thanks so much for taking the time with us. We appreciate it. Have a safe trip back to Windsor, Illinois, and we look forward to watching you on television.
Yep, thanks, Todd.
That's Matt Bennett. He, of course, is with TGM out of Windsor, Illinois, up visiting the folks at Ag Day. They're out of South Bend, if you didn't know that, in Indiana, right there, very near the Notre Dame campus. Actually, I'm not quite certain that NDSU, which is where they record, isn't actually on NDSU's campus. I've been there a few times, and it's a great place to go. Glad that Matt Bennett gets that chance. Speaking of great places to go, I'll be headed to John Deere next week. You can go to, if you call 217-333-7300 between now and 10 o'clock tonight, leave your phone numbers and addresses and email and all that kind of thing, and we'll try to get back to you. But if you can do it by 5, it's even better. 217-333-7300. The weather is coming up next here at willag.org. You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media on this Thursday afternoon. Mike Tenora, T-Storm Weather in Chicago, on the phone line to take up the weather forecast. It's been a magnificent day today. Looks like even better for tomorrow, Mike, but I'm wondering whether these good temperatures will last.
They will last through about Monday, so we're looking for some decent temperatures for a change for, you know, a while. We're talking about 3, 4, 5 days here. With some fairly decent temperatures that will help to melt away some of the snow and begin the long process of warming topsoils across the Corn Belt. The only problem is that once we get to around Tuesday and then from there going forward, the pattern does turn colder once again. We're now looking for extreme coldness like we've seen in recent weeks and months, but it will be around 5 to 10 degrees below average the way it looks right now. This all occurs as the same weather pattern that has essentially been in place for the better part of 4 to 4.5 months recurs, and because of that, we just don't really see a large-scale, long-term pattern change, but we do see some nice weather, as you noted, for the next 3, 4, and even 5 days.
Any expectation that that long-term weather pattern will give up or that the polar vortex will go away anytime soon? Can you look out and see a time when that moves out and we get back to more normal temperatures?
Well, it's hard to say exactly. As far as the polar vortex goes, that diminishes as we go forward simply because the angle of the sun is getting much stronger as we go through March and into April. So the polar vortex is not a major feature of weather this late in the year. The only thing we would say is that when we're in a pattern like this, they oftentimes are difficult to break, and we're seeing that now. Even though it turns warmer through early next week, we quickly go right back to that same pattern. So we're not super excited about a sudden change toward above-average warmth that would melt away all the snow, turn topsoil real warm, and allow corn planting to quickly begin right on April 1st. That just doesn't look like a very feasible scenario. It's always a possibility because weather is random. But as we just look out 10, 14 days into the future, we can kind of see that the general weather pattern stays the same. You extend that out one more week, we're at the end of March. And so we just think it's going to be a slow process to warm up. But it is weather, so like I was saying, just keep an eye on it because you never know for sure. But just probabilities are against a slightly or a rapid change to our real warm weather all of a sudden.
Would that go for the Delta region as well when you're talking about the April 1st timeline? Because they would be in normally planting sometimes much before that.
Well, I think they'll be okay. I mean, temperatures further to the south will be closer to normal than across the Corn Belt, and especially further to the west across the southern plains. Parts of Oklahoma and Texas will have highs well into the 70s over many of the next 7 to 14 days. So planting there will begin on time. Planting in the Delta looks pretty good at this point. Really, the colder weather relative to average is focused more on the Corn Belt, say Iowa, Illinois, Indiana, and then points on to the north and east. That's where the planting situation could get a little dicey in April. But again, we still have 4 to 5 weeks to get super concerned about this.
We'll check with you again next week. Thanks so much, and we do appreciate it, Mike.
You're welcome. I'll talk to you soon.
Mike Tenora is with T-Storm Weather out of Chicago, Illinois. Joins us here on this Thursday edition of the Closing Market Report. You can always do it again if you'd like on our website at willag.org. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason.
The 25th annual All-Day Ag Outlook Day was a huge success. We want to thank everyone who attended and thank our participating businesses for their support. Bates Commodities, The Andersons, AgriGold, Wisconsin Plastic Drain and Tile, Horizon, and Strategic Farm Marketing.